thank everybody for being here. Thank the folks at Capital Link for putting this together, obviously. Talk about a tough act to follow. Coming up on a stage after Robert Bugbee is a little bit daunting, but it's interesting when he was talking about the people that mentor him and the experiences that he's had, and mentioning having, of all people, Peter Lynch review a PowerPoint deck for him when he was 25 years old. It kind of feeds into, as does Robert's comment about trusting third-party advice, kind of all comes together for what we're talking about here today and what I'm here to discuss. So obviously the Baltic Exchange, people are very familiar with it, hopefully, if you're here. Just as a reminder for anybody who doesn't know what the Baltic Exchange is, it is no longer an exchange. It's not a marketplace. It's not a facilitator of trading. We're an information source, but we are global. As you can see from the screen, no need for me to repeat the numbers, but we've been around since 1744. We've been producing data and freight indices since 1985. We've got over 800 member companies and spanning 60 plus countries. So we're pretty substantial around the globe. Obviously, you can see all the little logos there with where we're located. So pretty proud of that. Obviously, we're very familiar with the freight market. I'd like to say we are the freight market. We cover five different sectors. Obviously, dry bulk, everybody knows that. Tanker market, the gas market for both LPG and LNG. Then we have air cargo indices, and we also have container ship indices, which are clearly a very volatile and significant part of the industry. We also offer, just as a quick aside, bespoke indices. If somebody has a unique or a trade lane that's not directly covered by what we offer, we can put together an index that's private for that company and come up with an assessment that they can use either for a charter party, for a delivered freight contract, or even just for internal benchmarking for their compliance or accounting people. So just something to keep in the back of your mind, the bespoke indices that we offer. Just a quick summary here. So other than being founded in 1744, 1985 is when we put together the first dry index. And there's a big pile of white papers that have the same graphic in them outside if you want to pick one up on your way out. But it just sort of goes over the chronology of what we've done and what we've added and the different milestones that we've achieved in our time producing freight data. Dry bulk, again, everyone knows this, Capesize, Panamax / Comsarmax, Supermax / Ultramax, depending on what you call it. And then Handysize, we have a variety of routes in each of those. And then on the tanker side, we have dirty and clean. Clearly, that's the tankers are more route-driven rather than size-driven as they are in dry cargo. But significant number of routes, 14 on clean, then we've got 17 on dirty, and then 7 that are focused on the Asia market. We add and delete routes as the market dictates, and things change as a result of the market. So sometimes a route might be suspended due to a political sanction. Sometimes a route will be added because of new trade lanes and old train lanes disappearing. And, you know, sadly, we've got to pour one out for good old TD1. The first ever tanker index was recently retired. So just a sign of how the market changes. And then, again, just to go back, we've got LPG and LNG. We have 3 routes on each of the large size gas carriers to reflect the majority of global trade. And again, volatility in that being in a situation is something that we've all got to watch. And then, again, worth mentioning the container freight, our joint venture with FBX and the trade lanes that we cover on there. So there is the ability to index based on the containers. It's a 40-foot FAK freight all kinds, and there are routes that we have that cover freight movements as well. But let's just go to the Baltic Dry Index, right? Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this chart. And I was saying to somebody earlier, it seems like there's a financial news network every 6 months that discovers the BDI. Like, oh, this is the greatest economic indicator you've never heard of. People have been writing that article in the mainstream financial press for 20 years now. But there's a lot more to what the Baltic does than the BDI, which is why I'm here. And again, this leads into what Robert just said about trusting third parties' advice. We are at the center of the shipping industry. We understand how it works, not just from the voyage perspective, not just from the route assessments or the rates going from A to B or the dollars per day, but we cover the full life cycle of the ship. The Baltic Investor Indices cover all different sectors, different data points within each of those, ranging from new building costs, 5-year time charter, 10-year time charter, 5 and 10-year asset sales, and then obviously the OPEX, the new building costs, right down to the recycling or scrapping costs, depending on what you want to call it. The investor indices at their core have the ability to boil down to a simple number of factors, a way to look at the health of earnings, the residual value of your ship, whether or not you should be deploying it in the time charter versus the spot market, what are you looking at in terms of amortization versus the running costs versus the residual value. And again, we have the white paper. There's plenty of copies out there. Time is limited. I don't want to dwell too much on any one point, but I want to make sure that everybody gets a feel for what we're producing. This is the summary of it. But again, one of the key things is looking at it as a way to index the value of a vessel at a 5-year and a 10-year interval, and then also looking at the spot versus the time charter earnings. The time charter earnings we come to based on the forward curve, and talking about FFAs is a whole different universe. So I'm assuming everybody here knows what FFAs are or is at least vaguely familiar in the market, but happy to chat about it afterwards if you're not. In terms of the asset values, we're going over new building prices and then also the standard spec 5 and 10 year old vessels in the key sectors of the market. In terms of dry, obviously that's the four big ones: Capesize, Panamax, Supermax, and Handysize. And then in tankers, we peg asset valuations to the VLCC, the Suezmax, the Aframax, and then the standard MR2. These numbers are not come by way of individual vessels or individual transactions, but rather, like everything else we do, we have a standard and we have a guide to market benchmarks that produce a standard spec vessel. So it's certain deadweight, certain cubic, certain draft, speed, consumption. That's the quote-unquote the Baltic standard vessel, and then we go from there in terms of giving you the benchmark against which you can compare it. So we're not saying that our asset valuations cover the whole market. What the asset values are effectively a yardstick. You don't use a yardstick for fine finish carpentry. You use a yardstick or a meter stick, depending on where you're from, to say whether or not something is longer or shorter than 36 or 39 inches. So the yardstick is the concept of the asset values. That's what we're producing as one element and just one element of the Baltic Investor Indices. The whole purpose of this, and this kind of goes back to the trusting third-party advice comment, is optimization but also benchmarking. So you're looking at a 5-year TC or you're looking at a spot market. In terms of dry cargo, that information is relatively easy to find. The forward curve in dry trades out 7 years on most contracts or most indices. Tankers, it's a little bit shorter. But again, this comes as its own standalone index that you can use to look at simply the value of, okay, spot market versus time charter market, and then also the performance of your vessel and the operational management cost. We're looking at, and similarly to how we produce the indices and the route assessments based on spot vessel voyages, we have quarterly OPEX indices that we publish that's based on input from key technical managers, and we have a suite of the top independent third-party technical management firms that are giving us the information that we're using to benchmark the OPEX. The whole point of this, in terms of residual risk, operational risk, health of earnings, is giving not only traders, chartering managers, ship owners an idea of what they're doing, but the key target to go beyond the core Baltic audience are the investors. And it could be anyone from an individual ship owner that's looking at what they're going to do with their fleet, add, dispose, renew, branch out into a different sector, but also the institutional investors, the hedge funds, the private equity funds, the high net worth individuals, the family offices, and anyone else who's got exposure to either the value of the ships or the value of the equities or even the ETFs and the mutual funds. So I thought it was kind of interesting that Mr. Bugbee mentioned Peter Lynch, just in terms of mutual funds. If you look at the holdings of our core constituency here of the publicly listed shipping companies, it gets really interesting to see what mutual funds, what ETFs, what indices own pieces of those. And there's some very clear trends. There are some outliers as well, but it's an interesting part of the universe of shipping to look into who else is doing that. Obviously, the OPEX depends on the vessel, so the number of crew, the technical cost. Again, this is all covered in our standards and in our guide to market benchmarks in terms of what's what, but there are standards against which everything is judged. The number of crew is different, obviously, on a Supramax than on an LNG ship. But again, everything is documented and everything is put into place. I'm trying to be cautious of time here. So I know that some of these slides are a little bit wordy, but again, you know, all the documentation is available. So again, going back to who our target audience is, we're looking at the index funds, we're looking at the mutual funds, but again, private equity firms. How is someone to know, let's say you've done the traditional play, you've got third-party money, you buy a bunch of vessels, you hire in a technical manager to take care of the day-to-day, you put it in a pool, or you hire a commercial manager to charter it, and then you're sitting back and hopefully in a good market just collecting dividends. Well, how do you know how you're doing? How are you going to benchmark your investment or your performance? And the point of what the Baltic Investor Index is exactly what it stands for. It's an investor-driven index to give people who are not in the day-to-day, minute-to-minute spot market, but rather the people who have a longer-term view and longer-term exposure to the market. These are just some graphs. We can go over the details, or you can always pull me aside in person afterwards. But this just gives you an idea, the health of earnings index for the different dry cargo vessel types that we have here. And again, there are some pretty healthy time periods and there are some pretty sketchy time periods. But I think it's important to put this long term, this is a 5-year roughly view, just about 5 years, on the type of vessel. And you can see there's big money to be made and then there's periods of relative boredom in this. But I don't think there's any other matrix by which you can use this kind of information all consolidated into one place. And again, here it is. There we go. Sorry, let me just go back. So yeah, that was the health of earnings index. And then we've also got the residual value index. And this is the value of, again, well-defined, but hanging on to a vessel. This can be compared to the recycling value as well. And it gives people, as we're heading into this more eco-sensitive era of when it makes sense to put the vessel on the beach versus continue running it and continue operating it. The reports come out very simply. If you're a member or a subscriber or a data purchaser from the Baltic Exchange, you'd get this report every morning. Obviously, we've got different time periods for things, so some of the indices are updated monthly, some weekly, some quarterly, and some daily. But every day it comes up with the numbers, and I've just got four examples here for Capesize, Panamax, VL, and Suezmax, but obviously we also have Supra, Handy, MR, and Afra as well. But this is the first email that comes into my inbox every morning, and it's pretty much the first thing I look at every day just to see how the, not just the individual numbers, but how they change in relation to each other. So again, another part of it is we're working with Urs Dohr and Zuoz Industrial, and we have a quarterly report that also takes this information and puts it into a manageable, digestible context to say, okay, what does it all mean? Because, you know, the old joke, the definition of a trader is somebody that knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. This is a way to consolidate all that information and all those data points and put them into a digestible, understandable format. The panelists, again, this is kind of well known, but for anybody who doesn't know, strictly third-party market-neutral people. So principals cannot be panelists with the Baltic Exchange. Our numbers come from brokers who are truly independent, market-neutral, non-position-taking. And then in the case of the OPEX, it's from third-party technical ship managers. So just like a ship owner can't contribute to the daily pricing, a ship owner can't contribute to the OPEX assessments there. And then just really quick, if I can do it in 10 seconds, What else is the Baltic beyond our numbers? Obviously, we're a member-driven organization. We want our members to be part of our organization. Where do the ideas for new routes come from? Where do the ideas for retiring old routes come from? It all comes from having a seat at the table and being a member of the Baltic Exchange. We listen to our members and we listen to our constituents by way of advisory councils, working groups, etc. And we put it all together and try to come up with the best way to continue presenting our data. So obviously, again, my contact information, and yeah, I think managed to hit it on time. And again, any questions, come see me.